Our next guest just wrapped up a mini camp in Florida. Quarterback of the Edmonton Eskimos, Mike Riley, joins us. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Gregor. How about yourself?
I'm well. Before we get to the football stuff, there's a little bit more serious thing we need to discuss. We are now just over 3 weeks away from our King Queen Karaoke Contest, May 23rd, that you will be a part of at On the Rocks. Have you been practicing your singing?
You know, generally I try to get about 10 minutes in the shower in the morning.
Nice.
I've heard that's the best time to do it. But, you know, when it comes to these things, I'm more of a cram study type of guy like I was in college. Just, you know, generally stay up late the night before. So I haven't spent too much time, but still have a ton of confidence in my ability.
Nice. So you have your two songs because you need one song to start. And then if you make to the final five, you'll need a second song. So just letting you know that.
Right.
Nice.
Yes, I got that. You know, I think my first one's a for sure. The second one, I got it narrowed down to the top three. So we'll keep those a secret until the main event.
Nice. Excellent. Will you have any of your teammates in support of you that night?
Well, I plan on bringing as many as I can to help cheer for me and try to sway the judges' opinions.
Good, sure. Good. Excellent. They can go to jasongregor.com to buy tickets because it's going to be a sold-out event, so you got to ensure your tickets in advance. That'll be perfect.
All righty.
And we're raising a lot of money for the MS Bike Tour. We've I'll tell you right now, we've got some pretty good entries so far from our contestants because we take the 12 best and then they compete. Yukon Jackson, yourself, Josh Clausen, Ryan Meyer, a few others. So Strudwick's not competing this year.
So. You know, that's probably for the best for everyone involved. But I know UConn's got some skills. I definitely remember that from last year.
Yeah,
so
well,
I definitely know that I'm up against some stiff competition. So I'll have to get started here.
UConn and Josh Clausen had a real parting of the ways. So now they're going to solo act. So we'll see. Because a lot of guys are better as a group.
Right.
Now we'll see.
That's true. You know, you can definitely play off of each other. It's much more difficult to go solo. So, you know, who knows? Next year they may find a team up again because I'm not sure if I'm as confident in a separate act.
Let's talk about the minicamp. Your first opportunity to have Chris Jones kind of in charge running the show. How'd it go?
Yeah, loved it. I thought it went really well. You know, just the structure and the pace of the entire camp was awesome. You know, from the minute that we stepped in, we were given a lot of information, but it was given to us in a way that we were easily able to handle it. You know, I think one thing that stuck out to me was that outside of the quarterbacks, there weren't any veteran players there. So all the guys were new to the CFL. And when you have that happening, a lot of the time guys really struggle with the design of the plays and how to hit the line of scrimmage with the motions and things like that. And generally practices have a pretty slow pace, but the way that the staff all worked together well and got the information out, I thought the tempo was extremely high for a bunch of young guys out there running around at wide receiver and defensive back. So if that's any indication of how the season is going to go, and especially training camp, I think our guys are going to be able to operate at a very high level because the information is going to be given to them in a way that they can understand and they can execute.
Mike Riley joins us. Mike, McAdoo, of course, your offensive coordinator. I know you've received the game plan well in advance of this mini camp, but it was your first time on the field watching it. What's going to be the biggest difference now that you've had a chance to at least run some plays?
You know, it's a totally separate type of offense from most of the styles that I've run in the past, but I like it a lot. I think it's a very efficient offense. It puts a lot of the onus on the quarterback of having a very comfortable feel for your reads, and your footwork has to be exact for each play, but that's something I'm excited about. And just in the 3 days at minicamp, I think I probably hit more checkdowns and hit my running backs more than I did the entire season last year, so that's not a bad thing. I think the structure and the design of the plays is meant to be very efficient. You know, have a high completion percentage and let the guys do something with the ball when it's in their hands. So you know, I think that's what every single offense in the CFL tries to do, but some are better at it than others. And I just, you know, I'm very confident in this offense, and I'm excited to get to play with it.
Mike Riley joined us. You mentioned how a lot of the onus will be on the quarterback and your checkdowns, your footwork, and your reach. Talk about the footwork and why that's so important.
Yeah, you know, some offenses, I guess, leave it a little bit more to the quarterback style of how they want to take their drops. And how you progress through your reads. But with this offense, as you've seen, you know, Ricky Ray and Anthony Calvillo do in the past, You know, their feet determine where they're going to throw the ball in terms of you have to take the correct drop every time. And depending on where you're at in your drop, how many hits you're taking, that's where your eyes are going to take you to different progressions. So it's not like you're just kind of scanning the field for the open guy as you're taking your drop. You know, there's definitely a progression of where you're supposed to be looking and where your eyes are going to go. And because of that, it's a lot of timing. And if you're incorrect with your footwork, you're not going to be, you know, at the right place. You're not going to be able to throw the ball on time and get it to where it needs to go. So just a lot of things are, I guess, more detail-oriented in terms of the quarterback position than maybe they have been in the past.
Mike, last time we spoke, you talked about how, you know, you've gained weight. You wanted to get bigger and stronger this year, and you felt like you would be just as quick. I guess it was your first chance really to be on the field and run the plays. How did you feel the extra weight and the extra strength helped you?
I felt really good about it. I was still able to move. You know, it was a mini camp where it was just, you know, skelly periods and things like that. So there wasn't exactly D linemen chasing after me. We did do some pocket movement drills. I felt like I was definitely as mobile as I have been in the past, and I could certainly feel the extra strength. You know, my arm felt pretty live. You know, I really didn't have to put as much effort into throwing balls, especially deep passes down the field. You know, I think my arm is quite a bit stronger than it was last year, and I could feel the difference. So, you know, I thought it was beneficial for these 3 days. You know, once training camp gets started and we have longer two-a-days, I'm sure I'll shed a little bit of weight, but for right now, I feel really good about where things are at.
Mike Riley, quarterback for the Edmonton Eskimos, joins us. Mike, the competition at quarterback, there was five guys there. Likely there'll be five at main camp. The amount of throws, have you talked to Chris Jones, McAdoo, as far as how many you would like to ensure that you're ready to go for the regular season?
No, you know, at this mini camp, we did have five guys there, and because of the situation where, you know, they're trying to evaluate everyone, not just the quarterbacks, but more than likely the wide receivers, DBs, trying to figure out those last contracts they want to bring into training camp, the reps were pretty limited. You know, it's not like any of us were getting a ton of work. Training camp is generally a time where that changes a lot, and generally the starters get a lot of reps. You know, maybe the number two guys on the depth chart still get a fair amount, and then it kind of trails off from there. So I don't know if that's exactly how Coach Jones and McAdoo are going to structure things. You know, my approach has generally been to just go with the flow the first couple of days and assess how I feel that I'm progressing in the offense, and then, you know, discuss with the coaches if I feel like I'm progressing at the right rate and get a read from them. You know, ultimately it's their call and their decisions, but you know, I'm confident that they'll structure it the correct way. And, you know, as I said, after the first couple of days, I'll have a better feel for that, and we'll be able to sit down and talk it out and find out what's going to work best for us. But these coaches, from what I've learned in this mini camp and in the meetings, they have a clear vision, and they know exactly what they need to do to get there. So, you know, I have no doubt in my mind that they'll take care of things how they need to go.
Mike, this mini camp, What did you take out of it? You mentioned there was a lot of young players in camp. What's the biggest benefit, do you feel, for your organization to have these camps?
You know, it's twofold. It gives the front office, you know, Ed and the scouting department, as well as coaches, an opportunity to fill out those final training camp spots. Like I said, you know, there was still 10 spots or so open, and they want to bring in the best, the highest caliber of players that they can to make training camp you know, competitive. And so I think it gives them a really good opportunity to do that. But it also gives us as quarterbacks a chance to come in, knock the rust off a little bit early and get a good feel for the terminology, the verbiage, and just the execution of these plays. Because when we get into training camp, we want to be able to operate at a high level of speed. And, you know, as the quarterbacks, we're out there running the show. So I think it takes the guesswork out of that. It gives us something to work on for the next 5 weeks, you know, call up the wide receivers, tell them what they can expect. One thing I'll be telling them is that, you know, whatever they think they're doing for conditioning right now, they need to double it, because just the speed of those practices and the amount of reps that we were getting in and the amount of running that the wide receivers were doing was pretty intense. So our guys will be up to the challenge, but it's nice to have these camps early so that we kind of get an idea especially with the new staff, what training camp is going to be like and what this offense and this playbook entails, so that we're ready to go. You know, you don't want to spend the first 2 days of training camp trying to take care of basically paperwork, you know, trying to dot the I's, cross the T's. So I think that we'll be able to hit the ground running at a high speed, and that's really important.
Ed Hervey talked about wanting to get more speed in the receiving core. Your opportunity, you know, a lot of it's going to come from some of the young guys coming into camp. Which guys stood out for you in that brief camp as far as, you know, maybe some speed burners that fans should be paying attention to when training camp opens?
You know, there was a couple of guys that really had good camps. them being rookies and there being about 50 of them, you know, I don't know if I really picked up one guy's name. I could tell you some numbers, but they were all in the 70s because that's what Dwayne puts our wide receivers in.
Yeah.
When they first come in, because the 80s are pretty limited. I want to say the last guy, one of the guys' names was Franklin, but there was two or three that will come into camp. I know there was a D lineman there that was very impressive. He ran very quick for his size. So on the defense side of the ball, I know the guys are excited about having him. But I think at the wide receiver position, I think there's two guys in particular that I remember, you know, getting some reps with them and seeing them run, just being able to pick the speed of the game up very quickly. So, you know, whoever they bring in, we had a crop of pretty good guys. So I know it was limited to who they were going to bring in. You know, but we got a lot of talent at the wide receiver position with our veterans too. So I'm excited for the new guys to come in and push our guys a little bit. But at the same time, the crew that we have coming back, I'm very excited about them as well.
Mike, I know we talked a lot about the training and working out and stuff like that. I've had a few texters wondering, what's your resting heart rate? And have you ever checked to see what it is during a game?
I have never checked to see what it is during a game. I used to wear a heart rate monitor last year when I was working out. I know my peak heart rate if I was running sprints on the treadmill, or if I was out doing sprints on the field or something like that. It could get up to the 180s, 185, 190 even. If I was waking up in the morning with my resting heart rate, it was in the mid-40s. But if I was actively, you know, walking around, if I was at the gym lifting weights or something like that, it was generally in the mid-60s. So it varies quite a bit. I don't know if those are good numbers or bad.
Yeah, me neither. Truth,
but whatever it means, I'm sure someone else can tell me.
Do you notice the adrenaline rush in a game? And how did it take? So, you know what? Let's say you have to do a little dump pass, and I'm guessing when the adrenaline's going late in a game and you're excited, how long does it take to get that feel so the adrenaline doesn't force you to maybe throw the ball the 5 yards farther than it should be?
You know what? Early in the game, I don't want to say it can be an issue, but you definitely have to take it into consideration. You know, especially early in the season when you haven't been on the field in a long time and the game's just starting and you're definitely pumped up. You know, you sometimes will see guys throw maybe a hitch route, throw it 60 miles an hour when it's only a 20-yard pass. You know, you don't need to throw it that hard, or especially a check down to a running back, like you said. But I think it's not something that mentally happens. It's just something that over the course of the game and over the course of the first couple of drives, I think your body just adjusts to that. And it's not something that you have to consciously worry about. I think when I get into the fourth quarter, even if games are close, and it's a big moment in a game, I'm excited about it, but my adrenaline doesn't really amp me up. I think it just kind of calms me down, and,
okay,
and you just get focused and you just kind of hit that zone. I mean, the really good quarterbacks are able to do that. Again, I've mentioned his name before, but Ricky Ray, you watch him last season, you watch him for his whole career, his expression doesn't really change. And I know that irritates a lot of people, but you got to be able to do that at times. It's just kind of, you know, lower that adrenaline level and just keep your calm.
Do you get nervous when you sing?
For sure. That is one time where I probably won't be able to manage my nerves. And so I hope you have a garbage can in the back for me to throw up in before I go up on stage.
Hey, I'm sure Dr. Wang at On the Rocks can have one of those available just in case. Just in case.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks. You're always looking out for me.
Hey, that's all good, man. We'll practice up. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, raising a lot of money for the MS Bike Tour. And we'll have a very good competition for the King or Queen of Karaoke, $1,000 cash to the winner this year. So, Big
well,
deal.
I look forward to it. That, you know, for me, it's just a great cause. My aunt deals with MS, so it hits close to home, and I always appreciate the work that you do in the community with that. So looking forward to helping out in any way that I can. If it's busting a few eardrums, count me in.
I love it, Mike. That's great. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Gregor. Thanks for having me on again.